Hey, I'm Mike Lemon, CyberSafe Team Nation, and today we're going to be talking to Bob Couchman, who is our director of training. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Not much. Just enjoying the weather.
That's a good day. Good day. So you've been our training director for almost a year now, I guess, or so. It's pretty close to that. And kind of give the people who are listening a little bit background of who you are, where you come from, and kind of what gives you the experience that you have.
Where I come from. Well, I'll start off by saying I'm an import. I'm a Yankee. Don't hold that against me. But
I am too.
Talk a little bit of an accent. What's that?
I am too. Detroit.
We'll see. New York. So, you know, hey, which tells me something. Good things come from up north. But anyway, spent some time in the military. Got out of high school. Got in the military. Spent 4 years active duty. Got done with that. Ended up here in Kentucky. Did 23 years at the City of Madisonville Police Department. Out of that 23 years, the last 8-9 years was with the attached to Secret Service doing internet crimes against children and electronic crimes task force. So I spent a lot of time, what I like to describe as hunting down perverse pedophiles, as you did. And with that, unfortunately, with that experience comes a lot of stories and a lot of people that we've dealt with that want to do bad things to kids. And one of the things that attracted me to your spot was that I can continue that and not have to worry about dealing with them directly, but hopefully help on the other end and prevent somebody from getting in such a situation we dealt with.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, where overall company Millstone Lab started, if people don't know, is a way to help small agencies investigate online crimes, find pedophiles in their communities, and put them in prison. Put pedophiles in prison was our kind of our tagline for a while. And we kind of moved over the last couple of years into prevention, into training, actually going and hoping, like you said, prevent some of these things from happening to kids so they don't ever have to call the police. So you've been into a ton of schools in the last year, which you've been doing training for quite a while, right?
Oh yeah. I was even as an active duty police officer, I was going all over the place training. I've been to Richmond to train SROs. I've been to Louisville. To train school administrators. I've been all over to teaching in schools and even churches and stuff like that too. Just talking about the stuff that you and I dealt with, and showing how to prevent that from happening if we could.
And you've been a school resource officer too as well, right?
I was a school resource officer at Madisonville North Hopkins High School for 6 years before I did my stuff. The last stuff I did, but yes, I did spend 6 years in high school and had a blast. Loved working with the kids.
Now you keynote at one of the conventions for school resource officer. Can you tell us about that?
That was a couple of years ago. I was still with the police department then, but yeah, we did a keynote, about 3-hour session on basically all of it, and covered how an SRO should respond to an incident where maybe a child has maybe sent something they shouldn't have, or maybe they're being cyberbullied, and how to collect that evidence and retain it for someone who is trained in recovering that evidence to get it and not have it lost.
Right. Okay. So, and that's one of the things that, you know, one of the reasons I kind of started coming after you trying to get you to join us is that I've heard about you, and I know you had that same passion. You've been doing a lot of training, and thought you'd be a great fit, and obviously have been. But right now, you know, people want to know kind of what we do when we actually go into a school. Can you kind of give it just a kind of a stand? If a school says, hey, we want you to come talk to our sixth graders, mm-hmm. You know, we don't do big auditoriums. I think we both believe, and most people believe, that that's a waste of time. You can check a box, it's great, but we're not going to be checking boxes for you. We want to make sure that when we talk to kids, it hit home, and there is a reaction from that, and their behaviors change because of our training. So can you kind of just go, what would they expect? They say, hey, Bob, we want you to come and train for our school, say our sixth graders. How would that be?
Well, let me touch on the large groups for a second. I've done large groups before. I don't think it was received very well at all. When you get a large group of kids together, 100 people, 100 kids together, when they start hearing some of the topics we talk about, they start linking those topics to people who may have done something in that school, and you lose your audience. In the smaller groups with 20 to 30 kids, I get a whole lot more interaction. I get a whole lot more feedback, and I get a whole lot more real emotion out of the kids.
A connection with them.
Yes. And when I come in, of course, they'll see me. I'm a jokester. I play around. I have fun for the first couple of sessions, or sections, I should say. But when I cover like sexting, and I get frank with them. That's not going to be to the adult level, but I get frank with them, telling them, hey, look, this is where this stuff ends up. You got to be careful with this stuff. And what you do on social media now has a direct reflection on what people are going to see later on down the road. You apply for a job, you apply for college, you apply for scholarships. Everybody's losing that stuff. And what you posted 5 years ago may come back to haunt you. And I show actual examples. Then I go into, I end it with cyberbullying, the last 10, 15 minutes. And anybody that has seen my program will tell you that in that last 15 minutes, it gets really quiet in the room. My demeanor changes. And we talk serious about cyberbullying and teen suicide. We have a very real conversation about it. And I will tell you that sometimes some kids get pretty emotional about it. Which kind of, it sounds bad, but it makes me look and see that they understand it. They see mm-hmm. what the consequences are, and they see that there's things they can do to prevent it. So
a big thing I think we both push in both our trainings, when you do train, I do, is you hit on that, is, you know, pics and posts are forever. There's no deleting something once it's out there. And once it's out, whether it's a picture, a post, whatever you do, it is literally out forever. And can mm-hmm. always be out there. What are some of the kids saying when you're talking to this, when you're actually hitting these points, kind of what kind of reaction are you seeing from the kids?
When I hit some of the apps that we talk about, the kids commonly use, and I go over some of the weaknesses of those apps, you definitely see some kids in the audience with that holy crap look on their face. And there has been feedback to some of the parents who have come back to the parent program and tell me, hey, you scared the crap out of my child. What did you tell them? And I tell them, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, good, thank you. Because kids don't understand that there's, like you said, once it's out there, it's out there. So once you put that in front of them and explain, look, this is what I see from my side when I was doing the stuff I was doing before, yeah, I can find it. It's out there. And there's a lot of panic faces and a lot of questions afterwards about, you know, how's that work? And, well, I just break down to them and tell them.
Yeah, I know you've seen the same look, but when you're going through these presentations, when you're hitting different topics, and you can see the either old crap look or the ones who are just, you know, burning a hole in the floor with their eyes, you're like, yeah. You know, yep. We're connecting. Whether they're looking at me or not, they're connecting. And it really is. We try to do surveys of all the kids, as many kids mm-hmm. as we can. And what are some of the things you're seeing on these surveys? Kind of what are some of the results specifically about sexting that we're seeing?
Well, there's four questions I ask. The first one, of course, is the popular, what are the top three social media apps you use? And 99% have the same three. And those are the ones we usually hit on when we do our presentations, because those are the obvious most popular ones. Other questions, like you said, about sexting. I go over the legal ramifications, meaning most kids don't understand that they can be charged criminally with a felony mm-hmm. just asking for a picture. They have no idea about that. And I show them the law, and I show them how it can affect your future. And I'd say probably 99-98% of the ones that write the feedback on the card are like, nope, I'll never do that again. Or I'll never do it, I should say, not never again. Many of them are saying, I wouldn't do it in the first place. I darn sure not going to do it now. That's great. At least you're getting a message. But a lot of the kids that I talk to, and I have the slideshow in a certain order, because there's questions. Once I put the first one there about somebody asking for a picture, the next question, I already know the next question will be, and the slide's ready to go. And it kind of makes it flow smoother, but they definitely receive it, and it shows up in the index cards we hand out. So.
Awesome. What are some of the we work a lot directly with Friskies, Family Resource and Youth Service Center coordinators. What kind of feedback are you getting from them?
Nothing positive. We do the classes with, usually they're in there with me, or the teacher's in there with me. Come back and, man, I'm glad somebody came and talked to us about this. This is the stuff kids need to hear. That's what I always hear out of them. Then we do the parent programs, and inevitably parents are going, oh my gosh, more parents need to hear this. You're right. We agree.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, I want to make sure people don't, we just don't, now we use our story. So we use cases that, you know, I use cases that I work, you use cases that you work, and that I think that's probably, part of the biggest benefit of us, or for us, is that we can connect with real cases with real pedophiles with real kids who made bad decisions and real consequences.
Well, it's not even a bad decision, just the fact that maybe they've been talked into something they wouldn't normally do, but these people are smooth and they know what they're doing. They're just smooth. So yeah, they make that bad decision, but sometimes they're led that way by someone with obviously other than good thoughts.
That's right. That's right. Well, I just wanted to kind of to sit down and talk to you just a couple minutes about, and kind of let people know who you are and kind of what we do. And I appreciate that sitting down with me today. Can you, is there anything else, kind of any parting thoughts you want to give parents? Because we don't want to scare parents. We also give ways to help parents to monitor or to be present in their kids' life. What's kind of one thing you tell a parent if they do just something simple, a simple way to stay present in their kids' life?
I mean, communication. And you'll see that, they see that when I do my presentation. The very first thing I say about prevention is communication. You got to start talking to your kids. I've got two kids of my own. One's 21, one's 17 now, but from very young age, we start talking about that stuff and talking about what's out there, what can happen. And you'll see in some of the videos that we're going to make here in a little bit is that you're not aware of what's out there in some of these apps that these people have access to. And I think the very first one we're going to do is pretty shocking when parents see it.
I think so. Well, we're going to get off here for right now. We're going to start working on those videos. Again, I appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.